Today's shiur is Masechta Chulin Daf Pei Ches. We will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Pei Zayin Amud Beis, 8 lines from the bottom. At the conclusion of our previous shiur, the Gemara had mentioned the Tzalalta D'Dama, which we defined as the serum that you have when you have blood, the part that's outside of the actual blood. And the Gemara had taught us that for Tzalalta D'Dama, is an Einish Karis. But teaches us the Gemara today of Yirmiyahu Defti Amar, Einish Karis. There is an Einish Karis for consuming Tzalulta the Dhamma, but that is only, says the Gemara, Vahudika Kazayis, that you have to have a Kazayis of real Dam. And the way Rashi explains, and Tosfos explains as well, that in order to have a Chiyuv Karis for Tzalulta the Dam, is when the entire Tzalulta D'Dama, which is not as red as blood, is colored red. But if it doesn't have a red color, says the Gemara, then it's not considered dam for which there will be Einish Karis. And more than that, not only does it have to have all of it, have to have a reddish color, but it also has to be the kazayis, that we have a kazayis of red Tzalulta D'Dama. Masnisatana, the Braisa teaches us when we speak about Tzalulta D'Dama, that the halacha is metam ba'oil. If somebody, we know the halacha is that there's tumas oil when we speak about a mace, and the Gemara is teaching us that the Tzalulta D'Dama is metama ba'oil, if just like the mace is metama oil, but that then again is vahudika revius, that there is a revius, because the only time a mace could give off tuma is when you have a revius of dam of a mace. Tananhosum, says the Gemara, the Brice that speaks indeed about tumas mace says, komashka hamace, any liquids that exit the body of a nifter tahirim. That means the tears, or if a woman had milk, and her milk, a woman passed away, Rahman Slan, and there's milk of her body coming out, from that body. All of those dam are tahor. However, chutz midamai, except the dam of the mace, which is a liquid that obviously emanates from the body of the mace. V'chol mara had mumishabai. And as we're learning, any liquid that has this reddish color that exits the body of a nifter has the din that it gives off tuma. The tamba oil, they all give off tuma oil. So the mefarshim ask a question. Why shouldn't any mashka that comes out of the mace, any liquid that exits the body of a mace, not be tamei? There should be no different than a liquid that touches a mace. Of course, we recognize that if a liquid touches a mace, that liquid become tamei. And why over here are these liquids that we just excluded not tamei? Says Tosfos, the very maskal kol, that the Gemara over here is referring to a situation that the liquids are coming out of the body of the mace through a tube, and they didn't actually touch the mace. So what the Mishnah is teaching, what the Gemara Bryce is teaching us, that when these liquids are in the body of the person who passed away, they're not makabel tuma, because they're not considered mashkin. They're only considered mashkin when they exit the body. So if they exit the body, says Tosfos, they exited the body through a tube, so to speak, that's why they won't have tumas mace. Another teretz that Tosfos suggests, any mashkin that become tamei as they exit the body of a mace are really only tamei midrabanan. Any pasuk that seems to indicate that a liquid becomes tamei from a mace is only in a mesmachta, and these liquids are not tamei when even from a mace. And as we're going to learn, the only time Chazal instituted that they should be considered tamei is when they come out from a zov, as we are going to explain soon. Other case, not. Ask the Gemara, is that true? The mashka mace, that the liquids that come out of the body in a mace are tahirim verminu. The Mishnah says in the Sechta Tful Yoyim, Perek Beis Mishnah Aleph, mashka Tful Yoyim. A Tful Yoyim is a person who was tamei and went to the mikvah, but he did not yet have Herv Shemesh. And as far as degrees of tumah are concerned, he's considered a sheni l'tamei. The halacha is a person who sheni l'tamei is tar as far as chulin is concerned, and as far as ma'is sheni is concerned, but he will make truma posel. And as we often say in Ashurim, there's a difference in terminology between the word posel and tamei. Posel means that what we're talking about is tamei, but it doesn't spread tumah further. And therefore, if a tful yoyim will touch truma before Harif Shemesh, before the day is over, he'll make that truma a shlishi, he'll make that truma a shlishi l'tumah. By Kaidish, everything is 1 degree further. By Kaidish, a shlishi l'tumah can make a revi. So the Mishnah in Masechta Tful Yoyim says, mashka tful yoyim, the mashkin, the liquids that exit the body of a tful yoyim, kamashka shenegebem, are equivalent to the same halacha as liquids that the tful yoyim touches. Ve'elu ve'elu, and therefore the halacha is both the mashkin that go out of the body of the tful yoyim, or the mashkin that the tful yoyim actually is tamei, eimetama, they don't become tamei from the tful yoyim. That means the way Rashi explains that they don't have the ability to give off tumah. They don't have to give the ability to give off tumah. Others explain they don't come tumah itself. So v'shakol tumeim, everybody else besides the tful yoyim bein kalim, whether they had a tumah kala and bein tumeim or bein chamurim, or whether it was a tumah chamura, which the Gemara will explain in a moment. Mashkin ayotzmehen, the liquids that emanate their body, kamashka negeibahem, is equivalent to the mashka that touched such a tummy person. Ve'elu ve'elu, the mashkin that come out of any other type of tummy person, tchila, they become a rishon l'tumah. That means, if a sheni l'tumah touch maskim, so normally, if a sheni l'tumah would touch something, that will become a shlishi l'tumah. Here, there's a special halacha that the sheni l'tumah that touches these mashkin, not only does they have the ability to make them tumah, but that mashkin become a rishon l'tumah. We learned earlier in the Masechta on Daf Lamed Daled Amud Aleph, where the Gemara said, kol ha'poisel is a truma, that means it's a sheni l'tumah, em nogah m'mashkin, if it touches mashkin, mashkin metamas ha'mashkin, v'oisel ha'setchila, they will make the mashkin a rishon l'tumah. Chutz min tful yoyim, the exception is a chutz tful yoyim, because the tful yoyim is a very weak tumah, and therefore Chazal did not make this rule by a tful yoyim. Mashkin ayotzmehem, kamashka negebehen, elu ve'elu tchila, they become a rishon tumah. Chutz min amashka, except for the mashka which is ava tumah, the halach is that if a person is a zov, the Torah says that any liquid that exits his body, that his saliva, his mei raglov, his urine, his shechvazera, semen, all of them, the halacha is that they exit the body, they have the status of ava tumah. So the Gemara first identifies, what did the Mishnah mean when it said, my kalan and my chamurim? What was meant when it said that the kalan chamurim, my lav, kalan is sheretz, Tumat Sheretz is considered a Tumat Kala, or my Chamurin, and what's Chamurin? Mace. And so is my love Kalan the Sheretz Vizov. Sheretz Vizov are considered a Tumat Kala, and Tumat Chamur is Tumas Mace. Of course, the Tumas Mace is Avia Voice Atoma, it's the most serious Tumma. And this Mishnah is saying that the Mashkin that come out of a mace are Tamei and do give off Tumma. Not like we just learned. And it's the Merloi. The definition of Kalin is Sheretz. The definition of chamurin is zov. And why is a tumah zov considered more tamei than a tumah sheretz? Because we know that a zov has a very interesting tumah called tumas mishka of a moshev. Anything that the zov sits or lays on, if it was meant to sit or it was meant to sit or lay on, is tamei, which that halacha doesn't apply by tumas sheretz. But indeed, tumas mace will not have this halacha when we speak about the mashkin that come out of it. But now the question is quite obvious. If we're all in agreement that tumas mace is more significant than tumas sheretz and tumas zov, so ask the Gemara, why by tumas mace are we machmer that any? Why by tumas sheretz and tumas zov are we machmer regarding the mashkin that exit his body? Mashna zov the gozber rabbanon that the halacha is that any mashkin that come out of his body is tamei. And why, ask the Gemara, umashna meis the loygozer rabbanon? Why do we make that same rule by a tamei meis? Of course, Rabbi Kiva Eger asks a question because we just learned that the mashkin of a zov are tamei midiraisa. That's why we're going by certain mashkin, the roik and the meimei reglayim. But mace, there is no such halacha. So what's the Gemara's question? So explains Rav Kivega, the Gemara's question is not that why are we strict by the mashkin of a zov versus the mashkin of a mace. It's obvious why we're stricter by the mashkin of a zov than by the mashkin of a mace, based on the halacha of the Torah. But the Gemara's question actually, says Rav Kivega, is why did Chazal not see fit to make a gzeira by the mashka hames, just like they made a gzeira by the mashka hazov? Answers the Gemara, zov de la bedela in shmenei. People don't know to stay away from a zov. A person's not going to advertise that he's a zov. And therefore, Chazal saw the need to gozber rabbon to make a gzeira on all the mashkin that come out of his body, because as we just learned, there could be cases that there's mashkin that come out of his body that are tamei midiraisa. However, mace the bedilim and shmenei, the person who's a tamei mace, people stay away from, as we learned, is a very high level tumah. It's something that is quite well known, and a person who's a tamei mace, and therefore chlagos berabon and chazal did not see the need to make a gzera. We learned in the Mishnah the dam anitis, dam that splatters, v'shalasak, and the dam that's on the knife, the lochas chayiv lachasis. So which Rabbi Yehuda said, when is that halacha applicable? Said Rabbi Yehuda, when that's the only dam that's here. If there's other dam, Rabbi Yehuda said that there's no chiv kisi dam. So the Gemara explains this machlokas. Tana Rabbanan, the Torah says regarding the mitzvah kisi dam, v'shafach es dama v'chiso ba'ofo, v'chiso, says the Gemara, b'lamit shetam hanitas v'shal asakin, the blood that splatters, or the blood that's on the knife, and both, in both of those cases, the halacha is that yechayev lechasis. To which Rabbi Yehuda comments, Amosai, when is that the halacha? Bezan she'en shom dam elahu, that's the only dam that's here. Ava yeshom dam shalahu, if we have other dam here, then the halacha will be potem lechasis. There's no chiv to do kisei dam. The Taisus says that normally when we have a statement in a Mishnah, and the Mishnah says Amosai, so that usually is not to be understood that the Tana who's saying Amosai means to disagree, but rather usually Amosai represents that it's explanation. Says Rabbi Yehuda, says Taisvus, that even if we learned our Mishnah simply, and we would say that the Mishnah, where Rabbi Yehuda says Amosai in the Mishnah, it's not to be understood that Rabbi Yehuda means to disagree. Now that the Brisa says it explicitly, there we see that the Amosai in our Mishnah is not as Amosai usually is defined, but rather Amosai means that he means to disagree. Avli yesham dam shloihu. If there's other dam, Rav Yehuda's opinion is potem lechasis. Tanya aydach, but says the Gemara, there's another brayse. The other brayse says melamed v'chisa melamed shekol dam echayev lechasis. We have to cover all the blood. Mikan Amru, and based on this, we learned Dam Hanitas, the blood that splatters, Valshagafayim, and the blood that's left in the neck of the animal where was the Mokum Shchita. The halacha is Chayiv Lechasis. On that, says the Gemara, Amram Shemigam Leel, the Medvar Amurim, when is the halacha that we have to cover this blood? Shlakisa Dama Nefesh. We know, as we speak about the halacha of dam, the Gemara Masech the Croesus teaches us that first the blood comes out of when you kill an animal is black. Afterwards, there's red blood. That and the red blood that comes out first, it trickles out and then it spurts out, and then it starts to trickle again. The dam hashachar, the black blood that comes out first, everybody agrees, is not dam nefesh. When we speak about that red blood, there's a machlokes if only the blood that's spurting out is considered dam nefesh, or even the blood that just pours out, trickles out, is also dam nefesh. So again, the medvar mamurim shleikisa dam nefesh, avol kisa dam nefesh. According to Shimon Gamaliel, if you did kisa dam and dam nefesh, then Patam al-Chassas, there's no obligation to do any more Kisui Adam. Says the Gemara, B'maika Miflgi, what is the basis of this Machlokes? Says the Marabonin, say, Savri Domai, the din is called Domai, the Lalochi is, you have to cover all the blood. Review the Savri Domai, his opinion is a Filim Mixes Dam. It doesn't make a difference as long as some dam was covered. And according to Yehuda, even if that dam that you covered wasn't the dam of nefesh, that's also good enough. The filum mixes damai any blood. Rav Shimon ben Gamliel saw a damai hamiyuchad, the special blood, which is the dam hanefesh. So it turns out there are three opinions. According to Rabbanan, you have to cover all of the blood. According to Yehuda, you just have to cover any blood. According to Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, you have to cover the dam hanefesh. The halacha says the Shulchan Aruch in Yerideya Simon Chav Ches that says that one should cover, the Shulchan Aruch Paskins, one should cover all of the dam. And the Mefarshim say that not only is the halacha that you should cover all, that this halacha that we pass, that you should cover all the dam, even Rabbi Yehuda will agree that one should chatchila cover all the dam. Rabbi Yehuda is saying in order to do the mitzvah, you don't have to cover all the dam. Or, I saw, we're learning, and we're going to continue learning, would you have to scrape off dam from the knife? So Yehuda says, we don't have to go so far to scrape off dam from the knife. I saw that the Chazon Ish explains the way, the Chazon Ish explains the way to understand the Gemara, is that if you did Shechita and dam came out, there is no obligation to wait until all the dam comes out in order to do Kisui Adam. But everybody will agree that if you have all the dam here, the right thing to do is to cover all of the dam. Says the Mishnah, what may be used to fulfill the mitzvah of Kisui Adam and what should not be done for Kisui Adam? Mechasim b'zevel adak, we'll have to use fertilizer, v'choladak, that's very thin sand, v'choladak, we'll have to use earth, that's very thin sand, pasid is lime, v'charsis, broken pieces of earthenware, v'blaveno, v'magufa, blaveno is bricks, magufa is what was used to cover the pitchers made out of earthenware. All of these, if they were kochim, if they were ground up, may be used. Now that they use thick fertilizer, thick earth, or bricks or cement that wasn't, or earthenware that wasn't ground. Furthermore, the halacha is that one may not use a vessel, just using a vessel may not be used to do Kisui Adam. Klal Amar Rav Shimon Gamliel. Rav Shimon Gamliel tells us a rule. Davish Megalim Tzbachim, anything that could grow something. Mechasim Bok, the use of Kisei Adam, anything. She'ein Megal Tzmachim, something that thing can't grow on it. Ein Mechasim as Adam. And Taisa says, the Shimon Gamliel is not coming over here to disagree with. Rav Shimon Gamliel is not coming here to disagree with the Tanna Kamma. He's really coming to explain what the Tanna Kamma, what the Kamma says. I saw from Rav Zolti Zitzal, we just had this machloikis, how much and which of the dam must be covered. And Rav Zolti wants to connect this to a machloikis that we discussed in our previous shiur, where somebody does a shechita on a chaya, and then he goes kisi adam, and then he does another shechita, and then he does kisi adam again. Would you have to do kisi, does a shechita on oifis, and then he does kisi adam and does oifis? We learned the machloikis, the Rashi in Reino Tam. Rashi says he would have to make a new bracha. The Taisa says he doesn't have to make a new bracha. And Rav Zolti explains that the machloikis is the chiv based on the animal or is the chiv based on the dam? If the chiv is based on the animal, so therefore he says that there is no chiv kisei adam until you shech that the second set of animals, and therefore you would have to make a new bracha. But if there's a chiv on the dam, then he suggests that it doesn't make a difference if you shechted it or not. So if that's the question, is it on the animal or is it on the dam? If we say it's a chiv on the dam, so then he says it would make sense to understand the opinion that says that all of the dam has to be covered. But if we say that the chiyuv is not on the dam, but rather if we say, says Rav Zolti Zitzal, that the chiyuv is on the animal, so as soon as you just covered some of the dam, you have fulfilled what the halacha wants you to do, and there won't be a need to do kisei adam on everything. Says the Marhechi Dam Yicholadak. So the Mishnah said that one of the things that can be used is for kisei adam is choladak. And the question is, what is the definition of choladak? If you're using that sand and it's so crushed that you don't have to recrush it, that's in the category of choladak. But then the Gemara says there's a different version of this discussion. To which the Gemara asks, "Hey, what exactly is cholagas?" To which the Gemara says, "Amar Rabba, b'bechana Amar Rabbi Yochanan, kol sheyotzei tzorach l'katshei. If it still needs to be crushed, then it's in the category of cholagas." So, asking Ma'amai Benayu, we had two different explanations of our Mishnah, but the Gemara wants to know what is the real difference between these two explanations. And it says the Gemara, "Ikavenayu the tzorach v'loy tzorach. It needs grinding, but not that much. That means it doesn't need that much crushing to make it usable. The fruch mifrach. That means as soon as you pick it up, it starts to crumble. According to the first version, if it crumbles in your hand, that will be enough to make it chal adak, because it doesn't really need an act of ketisha. But according to the second version, that said that even if it crumbles, but it still needs some type of crushing, that opinion will hold that unless it needs absolutely nothing, then and only then would the halacha would it be acceptable. Continues the Baratana Rabbanan, the pasuk where it speaks about the din of Kisei Adam, says, V'shafach estam of chisa ba'afu v'chitzo yochel yechasena ba'afim ba'avarim, you could use stones to cover the blood, oy yichfal of zekli, or just put a keli on top of it, tamalayim ba'afur. So that would teach us that we have to strictly use sand. Menayin l'rabbis, seval adak, chol adak, shrikas avonim, shrikas charosis, nuris pishtim daka, thin pieces of flax, nuris shalcharshim, the sawdust daka, the sid, the charsis, lime, and earthenware, l'veina, umagufa, and bricks and that cover, that picture cover, shekachan, tamaloymer, v'chisahu, that all of these different types of items are acceptable. And as I saw, Rashi explains, if the Torah would have said ba'ofer yichasenu, so then indeed the Torah, by using the word ba'ofer yichasenu, would be teaching us that we have to use strictly offer to fulfill the mitzvah of kisui adam. But the Torah says v'chisahu, and only after the Torah uses the word v'chisahu does the Torah say the word offer. So we see, says Rashi, that v'chisahu comes to teach us that the v'chisahu means anything, and ba'offer is just an example, as we're going to see. Ask the Gemara, Yochel Shani Marav Zevel Agas V'chol Agas V'shchikas Klimatchus ground up metal kalim ulaveinu magufish loykacham, the bricks and the earthenware that were not ground, the kemach salt, a flour, a suben, a mursun, bran, tamalim ba'offer, it has to be something in the offer family. So of course, ask the Gemara, Omar risel rabbis aselu loytzes aselu, why did we include these things and exclude these things? Says the Bryce a rule. Marban yes elu shemin offer, anything that's in the family of earth that they could cause things to grow. Or maitzin yes elu, and we exclude shemin offer, something that can't be grown. So Tysus asks, why are we saying that all this ground up metal can't be used? The Gemara, he says, Masechet Avodah Zarah teaches us that ground metal can be used as a fertilizer. So Tosfos says it can be used as a fertilizer, but it's not something in which something will grow. Another teretz is that the only if the earth is soft will it be able to grow. It's not something that will always be able to grow. In fact, however, the Rashbah says that if you burn, Taisha says if you burn them, then they may be a more of a fertilizer. And therefore, the Rashbah wants to suggest that if you burn ground metal, then maybe the loch would be could be used for kisui adam. Ask the Gemara, be'ema, maybe the way to learn the pasuk is the chisou is a klal, offer is a prat, and we have a rule, the klal prat, ema klal al mash befrat, that the Torah, when the Torah has a prat after a klal, that means that the klal defines the klal, and the prat comes to teach us only what's in the prat is included, nothing else. And therefore, if the Torah used the words, as we've been saying, of a chisah ba'offer, what the Torah is teaching us, offer in, only earth may be used, midachrin aloy, nothing else. Amar Rav Mari, says Rav Mari, mishum dava klal tzarch l'plat. Indeed, if the Torah writes a klal, says the Gemara, and the klal is something that is understandable, the halacha is quite understandable by itself. And then we find that the Torah writes a prat. So there we can indeed say what the Torah meant to do by writing the prat after the klal is to limit what the klal comes to say. But here, the klal is really left alone. We don't know what it means. If the Torah would just write the word v'chisou, what does that mean? So the word ba'offer is here needed to teach us what v'chisou means, so it's not treated as a klal plat. Because says the Gemara, whenever we have a rule, whenever we have a situation, we call klal atzorach l'plat, ain't done on a klal prat. We can't be used it. It can't be used as a klal prat. Says the Gemara, dorish Rav Nachbar of Chizda, emechasan al b'dovish azara b'metzmiach. The only thing that we could use for covering something that will grow. The Rishonim explain that Rav Nachbar of Chizda is disagreeing with what we learned in our Mishnah. Because in the Mishnah, Rav Shimon Gamliel said that dovish megal mitzbochim mechasan b'ay, that it doesn't mean something that in actually you plant in. It's enough that if you plant something, if you already started, something's already growing, this will help it continue growing. Rav Nachman ben Yitzchak disagrees. And Rav Nachman ben Yitzchak is a stricter opinion. This is what the Meiri explains the Gemara, that it has to be something in which you can plant. Amar Rava, to which Rava said when he heard this statement, he said, "Hi, Burcha, what we just said is incorrect." Amalei Rav Nachman Yitzchak LeRava. So Rav Nachman Yitzchak says to him, "My Burchusei, why are you dismissing what I just said? Anam Reitiv Nelei. I'm the one that said this halacha in front of Rav Nachman Rav Chisda." And he said, "Not only am I the one that said this halacha for Rav Nachman Chisda, Omaham Masnis Amrit Nelei." And this was the brisa from which I learned this halacha. The brisa says, somebody's walking in the desert. He doesn't have ash to do kisei adam. He could take a gold coin and mechasabai. So of course, Tosfos asks that we just discussed that you can't use metal, ground metal, for kisei adam. And here the Gemara says that you could grind gold. It says Tosfos, and I saw the Rashba expands on this, that gold is different than all other metal, and gold is the type of metal that if you can, you something can grow in it. So Hayim Alch B'Svina. Similarly, if somebody's traveling on a boat and he shecht something on the boat, Vainlay Ofel Lachasis, and he has nothing to cover with, Sarif Talisay Mechasi could burn his talis and burn with it. I did see that there's a girs in some rishonim that has it just the opposite. The b'midbar, or somebody's in the midbar, sarif talisoy, he burns his talis. They do kisei adam, and on the boat he grinds up the gold. And the reason they're explaining this is that when somebody is in the midbar, when somebody's in the midbar, so he's not going to have anything else. And therefore, when he's traveling the midbar, he's not going to have any other garment. So that's why he has to grind the gold. Otherwise, when he's on the boat, he may have other garments. The Mordechai quotes the Goyim that somebody wants to shech the Oifer Chaya, and he doesn't have gold, or the garment is expensive, or he doesn't want to grind up gold. What he should do is he should soak the blood into a garment, and when he gets to a place where it is offer available, he'll squeeze the blood out of that garment and do kisei adam. The Beis Yosef asks an obvious question on the Mordechai. He asks if what the Mordechai just suggested is acceptable. Why didn't the Brisa that we just learned tell us to do that? Because what we just learned in the Gemara is something difficult to understand. You're going to burn your beged, you're going to grind the gold, which is a permanent loss of something expensive. Here, Mordechai is giving us a great option where you just soak your garment with blood and then you wash it out. And therefore, says the Beis Yosef, the Paiskim don't quote the Goinim that are quoted by the Mordechai, because they hold that it's not acceptable. The Murmah in the Darki Moshe in Yerideya Simen Chav Ches in Simen Tes explains the opinion of the Goinim. He says that the Goinim said their opinion in a case where the bird, the Chaya, are worth less than the Beged and the Zav. So now we have a problem. Yes, we're going to do kisei adam, but how will we do kisei adam at the expense of baal tashchis, burning your beged or grinding up yourself? And therefore, they said the goyim, you could have your blood absorbed in the beged. The brisa, however, he says, is speaking in a case where a bird or an animal are worth more than the garment or the gold, and therefore the halacha is you could burn your beged or grind the gold to fulfill the mitzvah kisei adam. Another way that I saw goes back to the machlokes that we discussed earlier in our shiur. Earlier in our shiur, we had a discussion: do you have to do kisei adam on all of the blood, or is doing kisei adam on some of the blood sufficient? And therefore, they suggest that soaking the blood in your garment won't get all the blood in, and even if you get in all the blood, you won't get it all out. And since you have to do Kisui Adam on all the blood, that wasn't offered as an option. However, in the case where if you hold that you don't have to have Kisui Adam on all the blood, then it's not an issue. But then, has the Michas Yitzchak, and I saw other Paiskim, have a whole different approach. Yes, of course, when we're grinding up gold and we're burning a beged, we're doing Baal Tashchis. And the question is, under what circumstances is it considered Baal Tashchis? The Gaonim are obviously of the opinion that grinding gold and burning a beged, everybody would understand, is considered an act of Baal Tashchis. And therefore, we don't have a right to do Baal Tashchis. We don't have a right to destroy something that's useful. And therefore, they say we have no choice but have it soaked into the beged. Whereas the Beis Yosef's opinion is that doing something for the sake of a mitzvah is never considered Baal Tashchis. So over here, if you're burning a beged, or you're grinding up gold, but the goal of what you're doing is to fulfill the mitzvah Kisui Adam, that cannot be considered, or should not be considered, a situation of Baal Tashchis, and therefore it may be done. And actually, this is a shaila that I saw that the place can discuss. The question is, if somebody has a talus that has good kosher tzitzis on them, but this individual would like to have nicer tzitzis, new tzitzis, put on his talus. May he cut off the tzitzis and make them not usable, or they won't be usable, obviously, typically, if you take them off from a talus, when they're still perfectly fine. Would that be considered a violation of Baal Tashchis? And really, it's connected to this discussion. The person is doing it because he wants to do the mitzvah in a nicer way. He has nicer tzitzis, he has better tzitzis. If you want to do a mitzvah in a nicer, better way, is that considered an act of Baal Tashchis? It's an exactly our question. The Gaonim obviously are of the opinion that still is considered an act of Baal Tashchis and ought to be avoided. The Beis Yosef's opinion is, if you're doing it with Tzarech Mitzvah, anything that's done with Tzarech Mitzvah cannot be considered an act of Baal Tashchis. Says the Gemara. Bishlama, says the Gemara, Shor Talos Mechasa. So burning your talus, asked the Gemara, is well understood why that's considered an act of a good way of doing Kisui Adam. Because Ashkan, the Eifer, the Ikri, Offer. We find that the Torah, as the Gemara is going to teach us, calls Eifer Offer. Ella, the Dinazav, grinding up at Dinazav, Menolon, how do we know that ground up gold is called Offer? Says the Gemara, because the Pasuk says in Eiv, Amrav Zera, Makam Safir Avonava Afra Zavloi. So we see that the ground up gold is called Afra's Zav. I saw that the Chayk Yaakov says that when we say Kol Chamira on Pesach by Bittel Chametz, we say Levata Lahavel Ka'afra Da Ara. Why, says the Chayk Yaakov, do we say the words Afra Da Ara? Because if we use the word Afra, and our Gemara says that Afra can also mean gold. But if we're trying here to mevatel the chametz, we obviously don't want the chametz to have any real value. So we specifically use the word Afra da Ara, that we don't mean gold dust, we mean real earth, which obviously has no real value, because that's how we want to treat the chametz. We don't want to treat the chametz in any way that would be construed of having value. Tana Rabbana Emechasa Alba Offer Devar Beis Shammai. Beis Shammai's opinion is that we could only use offer to do Kisui Adam. Beis Hillel's opinion is Metzino Eifish Kari Offer. We have a precedent that Eifish is called Offer. Shenemar, the Pasuk says, by the Parah Aduma, Lochel Atame Ma'afaz Sreifis Achatis. Now, actually, when we speak about the Parah Aduma, it's not offer, it's not earth, it's ash. And yet, the Torah still calls it offer. Obey Shammai, and Obey Shammai, who don't allow Efer, Efer Sreifa Ikri. He says that the ash is called Efer Sreifa, Efer Stamalai Ikri. Tana, the Brisa says, Asifa Aleim. We spoke earlier in our shir a list of different things that can be used for Kisei Adam. Hashachar is crushed coal. Vakochol is black ink, black things that are a black color that is ground up. The Nikras Psulim, the earth that we find that comes off the millstone. Yeshem Af HaZarnich. Zarnich is also something that's very black, that's used for making black color.